Welcome, everybody, to the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. I'm going through puberty, apparently. I had a little vocal crack there. I'm Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the intertubes, on the other end of the blockchain of fiends. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. I got my fake TV and my real gun. I'm double protected against criminals here.
Dude, that should be a hook in a hip-hop song.
The Golden Blockchain of Redemption is the name of today's show, and we've been saying for years that if you donate to the Freedom Fiends, you'll get on the golden floppy disk of redemption. This is okay. When I was still a drug addict in 1991, right before I got sober, somebody gave me an old computer and I learned to use DOS. And first thing I figured out how to do was mail merge. And I was like, my girlfriend and I were like,
"Dude, family friendly show."
Okay, my wife? No, it wasn't my wife.
No, not that.
The drugs?
What's mail merging?
Oh. I thought you meant the drugs. No, it's not. Nothing like that. It's a function in using a database combined with a word processing program where you set up fields. Basically, it's how you get junk mail addressed, and it's why sometimes junk mail will address to something really bizarre, some variation on your name or something, because they do it wrong.
So you were proto spamming people.
We were figuring out how to proto spam people, and we were like, let's start a cult, and like as a joke, but it was going to be a joke, and we were going to raise money.
That's how most cults start, I think
they do. And then, and we were going to like tell people that if they gave money, they'd get on the golden floppy disk of redemption, because this was in like 1991. But you and I still use that as our name for our like list of people who've done good things for us.
Apparently.
But
yeah,
I think we've updated it to the it's been in 1990. Till last week, and now it's up to now, and it's the golden blockchain of redemption because we're into cryptocurrencies.
Yes, the future is now.
And I know everyone's talking about cryptocurrencies, but really we were like the second show doing it because Free Talk Live was doing it on radio, and then we were doing it on radio. Although I lost my Bitcoin password a couple years ago, about a year ago.
I forgot about it.
Remember?
That.
And I had three Bitcoin, which would now – we had three Bitcoin, which would now
I
be
thought
worth,
we had six between us and we had
– between us.
Okay.
Yeah. You just raised the amount I lost for you in your head because it's your birthday. It's your birthday, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm old now.
Are you
I'm
old?
I'm the dirty 30. Yeah.
Dirty
way too
30.
Old.
That's – yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're honorable. You're married with children.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I survived till 30, so that's good, right?
You know, when I was a teenager, one of my plans was to be dead and famous by 30. Because
is it because Timothy Leary said don't trust anybody over 30?
That was part of it, probably, and part of it was probably like all my heroes were rock musicians who died, like Jimi Hendrix, and this is before Kurt Cobain by far. It just seemed like the thing to do, to be famous and dead by 30.
Right.
And I got clean off drugs and alcohol and have not done any since. And I'm coming up on 20 years sober, but I got clean like 2 weeks before my 30th birthday. And then I was like, after 2 weeks of kicking, I was like, okay, I'm not sick. And I'm not famous. What do I do now? And that's when I started to like
computers.
Entered my life. I still had the one I was trying to mail merge spam people for the golden floppy disk of redemption. That girl had left. She was like, man, she got clean before I did. And that they don't stick around. thank they're smart. I was going to say thank goodness, but wanted her, but because she was doing things for me. But yeah, boy, we're being very frank today for some reason.
Apparently, yeah, that's okay. That's what talk radio is about. That's what makes good radio is being frank, open, honest. There's so much out there. I mean, all of your like reality shows, even it's just scripted and it's BS and it's a bunch of made for you to believe nonsense that nobody believes anyway, and you have to suspend your disbelief. So a couple guys actually being honest on the radio, I think people like that.
Freedom Fiends are different than most shows. I mean, we actually did a bunch of show prep today talking about how we are going to explain the difference between socialism, communism, and capitalism and corporatism. But for some reason, I'm telling stories about the bad old days. And
about starting cults.
Your way to a cult. I should have just written a book about it and not done it. Although, isn't that what...
You had to know how to do it before you could write the book. Now you could write the book about it, although it's dated.
Isn't that what some sci-fi writer did who cannot be named or their lawyers will come after you? That started as a joke.
I think people get that. Yeah, I like that. But yeah, we won't. We don't want to make those people angry. But yeah, man. Tell us about your Let's Talk Bitcoin interview. You got some shine, huh?
I'm on if you go to Let's Talk Bitcoin, there's a it's incredibly out of date, and it's a month old. And I'm not saying anything bad about Let's Talk Bitcoin. They're great people. I actually want to go on there with Derek in about a month, but that one's with Jeremy, and it's like it's a project that's basically dead to me. It's dead because he's not getting back to me. I don't know what he's gonna do. He's gonna owe me money. I don't know what he's gonna do, man.
It's still functional though. Free
it is still functional.
Still
I'm not saying basically that guy will not return my emails, so I don't know what he's planning to do. I'm not saying he's gonna rip me off, but he owes me money and he hasn't talked to me about it, and I don't know what
the end user does not care about your drama with
they really don't, and they've already heard way too much of it. So but basically what I'm saying is you could listen to that interview, but it's kind of like listening to Bill Gates talk about computers from 1991.
Well, the reason I brought it up though is because that's kind of a interesting thing with Bitcoin is exactly how fast it moves. So fast something a month ago is completely
I'm saying something good about Bitcoin and Namecoin. I'm not saying anything bad about Let's Talk Bitcoin because they're totally on top of it. Right. But most of the things they have are people talking about the general use of it, not the technology. Or if it's people talking about technology, they're talking about the $1 million in venture capital funding they just got for an idea they scribbled on a napkin that isn't anywhere near ready, whereas we're talking about something that's like in beta version rollout, and you know, in the past week we've rolled out two iterations of it and we're going for the third. There's different people involved now and the name's different, so yeah, it's and you know, I tried to get a hold of Stephanie to let her know. She did the interview, but she is out being the Duchess of Bitcoin.
Duchess of Bitcoin. She's probably recovering. The Texas Bitcoin Conference was kind of taxing on people, I'd imagine.
You did hectic. some video of that. That's up. And
I shot 20 something gigs of video. It's the most video I've ever had to upload onto a computer.
That's more than we shot. Media. That's more than the entire project of Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, the 99 minute feature length film we did with 20 interviewees in it.
And I shot way more than I'll ever edit or put out, but it's all there. You know, if something ever happens to the world, I'll have the Bitcoin book, the Bitcoin holy book there on my flash drive. I was gonna spend a lot of Friday doing a lot of editing and putting out a bunch of videos, but my day job made me work a 14-hour day because some people quit, and it was awfully horrendous. And then at the end of the day, to put a cherry on the top of that that soft serve, I got an email saying you can watch all the professional videos for free, and I was like, oh man, they stole my thunder. But I got a lot of content that those guys
thunder.
Didn't get.
Yeah,
I know they didn't. I did some interviews with some amazing people that obviously the videographers didn't get because they just sort of stayed put in the back of the conference room. So I'll put that out maybe as a package, and then I'll do highlights of some of the cool presentations. Because also on the main videos, it's just, you know, large chunks where you have to watch 40 minutes or go to a certain time that somebody told you to. So I'll try to make things a little bit easier, but it's going to be slower than it should be. And that's the sad thing about it being out of date is for people like me trying to put the information out. I can't keep up. There's no way I can keep up with the changes in Bitcoin.
Yeah, you need a committee. Although a lot of the talks there probably won't be out of date in a month because
it's projects that are still on the horizon.
And it's
that's
not
true.
And a lot of
that's
them really weren't true. Necessarily projects. A lot of the speeches will probably be apt in 2 years because a lot of them were about maybe not 2 years, but in 6 months, because a lot of them were about the whole, like, how great Bitcoin is and how it's going to save the universe. And
some people's might be timeless. I think Jeff Tucker's speech might be timeless, because really it's the first iteration, I think, of Blockstrian economics.
And that's your term.
The merging of the old things you knew from Austrian economics. But with the caveat that, hey, there's this new thing that seemed implausible in the old model, but look how it's working. This gives us so much new things to learn about, and the implications are revolutionary.
And I really like that you've coined that term, Blockstrian economics, and I really like that Jeff Tucker is being a shining example of a Blockstrian economist, because I listened to that yesterday. I listened on our Florida feed after it played and on the radio station over the streaming, like live with their commercials, which I do sometimes. You know, the way that like ball players will watch the video of the game film. Improve it. Yeah, to improve their game. And also just I like the sound of my own voice. And so I listened to it and it really stood out to me, the Blockstream Economist thing, because Austrian economics is so true. Compared to like what the every economist that works for the government is the wrong kind. They're the other kind. What are they called? The
Keynesian.
Yeah. Which basically is like, and we're going to get into that later with the cow analogy.
They get hired because they tell the government what the government wants to hear.
Yeah. And what the government wants to hear is basically if we break more windows, you know, basically what they want to hear is war creates wealth, which is completely wrong. It's wrong. You know, Austrian economics is basically pure capitalism without the government involvement. That's the easiest way to describe it. And to everyone who's adopted Austrian economics, they know they're right. Like, I would say, you know, someone who's read a pamphlet on Austrian economics and has internalized it actually knows more about economics than someone who has a PhD in economics.
Than Paul Krugman,
and works for the government.
Bully pulpit from the New York Times, even.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. I really feel that Austrian economics is so true compared to the common kind of economics that Austrian economics adopters, it's kind of like a cult to them, and they have trouble seeing something that vastly changes their formula. And the blockchain vastly changes the formula, although it still works. But basically, it kind of alters the idea of the only thing that's worth anything is backed with gold, or is gold, you know? And gold's great. Right. Gold's great. We love great. Go to Midas Resources, buy gold. Go to the Freedom Fiends, go to our link for Midas Resources and buy gold. But it's not the only thing anymore that can have value because that's worth using because people have assigned value. You know, it's like yesterday I bought a Raspberry Pi, which is like a $35 Linux computer that fits in your hand. I actually bought a
Are they that cheap now?
Yeah. I bought one for $75 from my programmer that like he configured and put time into and put a case on it and put a power supply on it and put an SD card in it. And I bought it with Bitcoin. And it was like, I sent him the Bitcoin and he's going to send me the thing tomorrow. How would I do that with gold? You know, I'd have to ship it to him. It would take weeks or days. I'd have to trust the mail.
Yeah, I got a story about that.
Blockstream economics on the Freedom Fiends.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. Yeah. Freedom Fiends.
Yes, you heard Mr. W. Dead. Michael W. Dead right there, folks.
Yeah, that was a typo on the internet. I got it corrected. I did not like Michael W. Dead.
Yeah. Although, typos are a bummer when you put things on the internet. I put up my one of my videos from the Texas Bitcoin Conference. It's Andreas Antonopoulos, and I put the U in the wrong place. So it was more like Antonopoulos. So I had to fix that, and it was a hassle.
Yeah.
Bummer. But Bitcoin moves fast, man. The world moves fast. And I've got this Jeff Tucker quote that kind of sums up why he gets it and why the Blockstream Economist gets it. And the Keynesians are like stuck pushing berries up their nose and saying that the internet is going to fade away like fax machines. Here's the quote. Business is not like natural science. You can't just hold all things still and change one variable, much less repeat the experiment. The flow of life is forward and an infinite number of things are constantly changing. This is precisely why Keynesian models don't work anywhere but in their lab experiments. It's stunning this reality still evades them.
Cats must flow, basically.
Cats must flow, yes. Yes. And there's a million different variables, and you can never account for any of them, not even the NSA with all of its computers, because all of its supercomputers are spent reading my spam email for some reason and mail merging. instead, man, you should just be trying to figure out how to please the market as best you can and roll with the flow and understand that if you're successful for a minute, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful the next minute. You always got to be on your toes.
Did one of those old school economists or wrong school economists actually say the internet was going to fade like fax machines?
No, that was Paul Krugman. We talked about it yesterday. He had a quote that in I think it was a 2005 quote. He said, in a few years, we'll realize the internet had about as much economic impact as the fax machine.
The fax machine, and that's so wrong. The fax machine had a huge economic impact, and it faded because of the internet.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was saying it was going to have no economic impact. I think he was just trying to say that this is just some kind of business technology that's going to work in offices, and it's not really going to change the world. It'll make some people some more money. It'll make doing business easier, but you know, cool your jets. I think that's kind of the gist of it.
There's a couple quotes from – people can't always see the future, and the thing is with Moore's Law, the future leaps get closer together with time, with computer power, and with exponentially with things like Bitcoin, because it's involving decentralized everybody working all at once. You know, there's an interesting fact that's just come out that everybody with their Bitcoin wallets on together are the largest networked computer in history.
It's
bigger than like anything any government owns.
Ah, huh. Well, there you go. Well, that makes sense then, because when they were talking about can the government stop Bitcoin, the reply was no. The computing power is too high.
So well, I guess, the answer the was is, the answer was they could spend all the money that they have to pull some Keystone Cops type blunder that would be corrected in 10 minutes. And the thing is, if they instead just left all that computing power on, they could actually mine some Bitcoin.
Right. Yeah. So they could make some Bitcoin.
Didn't Andre say that?
A bunch of taxpayer money. Andre said that. Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
He's the king of Bitcoin, but not a king in the way like he runs it, or he's the head, or he's the CEO. And if
he's the rock star of it, it's kind of, you know, there's always
like you say, Elvis was the king of rock and roll, or Michael Jackson was the king of pop.
Yeah,
in that way,
it's not like they're the only people you listen to. Elvis is not the only guy you listen to. There were other rock musical groups.
Other rock music. Yes, do you remember when Ian interviewed me and he was like, "Can you do rap musical songs?"
Yeah, and I thought you were going to say, "Yes, I'm in a rap musical group." I really was waiting for that, because that's quoting my 91-year-old dad when he said, when he was on the show and he said to you, "Nima, did you know that Michael was in a rock musical group?"
Right.
And
we've
come to call it rock musical groups since then.
Because
it's so square,
that's
cool.
That's what they are. I mean, it sounds wrong, but it's
exactly precise. And we call this our talk radio show, because it's the extrapolation
that's
of that.
That's also what it is.
Yeah. So I have a new show, speaking of shows, starting tonight at midnight central, which is 11 p.m. Mountain and 10 p.m. West Coast and 1 a.m. East Coast. It's a hard one to describe. Even my hosts are having problems with, like, wait, I thought I was on Tuesday, not Wednesday. And it's like, it goes across days, basically, because it goes across midnight. Yeah, but, you know, we've already changed the clock. So it starts in like 12 hours, doesn't it? I think something like that. No, it starts at midnight. It starts at
12
midnight.
12 hours minus
13
half an
hours.
Hour.
It starts in 13 hours. It's 13 hours after this show, and it's going to be Sunday through Thursday or Monday through Friday, depending on what time zone you're in. And it's going to be called Michael Dean After Dark. And it's going to be myself with a rotating bunch of co-hosts. And it's going to be good. And the website is michaelwdean.com. You can go there now and look at it. You can look at the listen links if you're not in a station, if you're not in one of our we're not on any stations yet, but we will be. I've been too busy calling people about Namecoin. We're going to be the Namecoin podcast in history.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back, just as soon as this drone is out of range. Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
Yeah.
Aha! It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Okay. I'm Nima Vedati. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in his bunker. Where are you at? I don't even know. Are you in Airworm 1? Are you in the bunker? Or are you out in the backyard sunning yourself?
I'm in the blockchain.
You're in the blockchain.
Yesterday, this was great, man. It was warm enough here. It was like 55 degrees or something. I put on a hoodie or 50 degrees. I went in the backyard and listened to our show on a radio. On the local radio station, because we're on here sometimes they preempt us for NASCAR or something the Bangalore Cricket Club show.
Is that a show?
I don't know.
Caster, do they get Caster syndication?
They get
the Bangalore Cricket
Club. That's an obscure reference to the show Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and there's probably one person out of 100,000 who've seen that show, but it's one of the best shows ever. It's an Aaron Sorkin show before the newsroom. It's kind of the proto newsroom, and it's kind of like 30 Rock. It's actually like takes place backstage at something like Saturday Night Live, but it's better. It's not as stupid and funny as 30 Rock, but it's better. And 30 Rock's pretty good. So, we wanted to talk about a couple things. One real briefly is we talked about Raspberry Pis, the $35 computers. This is still being implemented, but I think we're going to work on a program where basically we will sell at cost SD cards that are pre-configured so you don't need to know any Linux to stick it in one of these $35 computers and run a 24/7 Fiends server that will update our torrent links, which really is, I mean, we like money, we like Bitcoin, we like Namecoin. You should give us donations. We are the hardest working, lowest paid, 24/7 nearly show that there is out there on radio that's real liberty. So you should go to freedomfiends.com and give us donations. But really what we like better than donations is people that will actually run a server to keep us drone proof. Because if our website got taken down, if our .bit site got droned, if I wasn't around to keep it around, there would still be the other old kind of the antique blockchain, which is BitTorrent. It would keep us alive. It would keep our stuff around in perpetuity. And the more people doing that, the more drone proof we are. So we're going to find a way where you don't have to run your computer 24/7, because a Raspberry Pi costs about $3 a year to run 24/7. A desktop computer costs a few hundred a year in electricity. So they run on like no electricity. They have no fan. They have no hard drive. They make no noise. You can keep them on in the room while you're sleeping or doing a podcast. They're not going to get on the microphone. And they're an amazing little thing of technology, man. I mean, these are like, you know, they have more computing power than what a $10,000 computer did in the late 80s, early 90s. So you can get them now for $35 and you can be a Fiend server. So we're going to work on that. So if people are interested in that, drop us an email and we'll let you know when that happens. What do you want to talk about? Cows? I think Nima has just gone. He's opened the door on Airworm 1. So I'm going to talk about cows because I don't know where Nima went. There's a thing called You've Got Two Cows. You've got cows. You have two cows, which is it's an economic explanation that is used originally in economics books to explain things like, you have two cows, you want chickens. You set out to find another farmer who has chickens and want cows. These examples are meant to show the limitations of the barter system leading to the emergence of currency and money. And there can be legitimate currency like gold and Bitcoin, and there's illegitimate currency like government-backed Federal Reserve notes that can just be printed out of thin air. And but there's kind of a joking thing that's a meme that's come out pre-meme, pre-internet of the cows. Are you there, Nima?
I'm here, yes. Yeah. The two cows.
Yeah, so read the examples of the two cows.
Okay.
Socialism.
In socialism, you have two cows. The government takes one and gives it to your neighbor. In communism, you have two cows. You give them to the government, and the government then gives you some milk. Do you want to do fascism?
I would rephrase these as to not you give them to the government, but the government takes them.
The government takes them.
Yeah. But these are pretty accurate otherwise.
Right, right. Well, in the socialism one, it says the government takes. For some reason, in communism, it says you give them to the government.
Because
I would imagine communism would
socialist.
Be less voluntary than socialism.
Why?
Because there seems to be more guns. I don't know if that's a philosophical thing or just a historical thing.
And there's less voting. Like, basically, socialism is communism with the illusion of choice.
Right. Yeah. Ayn Rand had a quote about that where she said, there's no difference between communism and socialism except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. So I guess in socialism, you choose your own tyranny, like one of those choose your own adventure books. There's a set number of adventures, but you get to choose.
Yeah, you can choose Democrat or Republican, or you can choose Bernie Sanders, the only avowed socialist congressman or senator from Vermont. That's
at
actually
least
parodied.
He's more honest. You got to admit, because Barack Obama's just as much, probably more of a socialist than
well,
Bernie
he's also
Sanders.
A fascist, but then again, so was George Bush. So. They're all
statists.
The idea of a Democrat from Vermont as being like the epitome of the far left is parodied in two things. One is 30 Rock, because when Jack dates that woman named Cece, who's played by Tony Soprano's wife, that actress, and he like, you know, gets with her, and then the next day in the hotel room, like he's watching TV and she's in the bathroom and he sees her on TV like proposing to sue his parent company for the government, and then he's like, oh my god, and then he looks next to her name and it says like Vermont D, like it's not just horrible to him that she's a Democrat, but she's
but
a Vermont,
she's Vermont. Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one in that movie, Thank You for Smoking, which is an awesome, I don't know if it's libertarian, but it's anti-nanny. And it's basically about three lobbyists who have lunch every day, and they call themselves the Board of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, because they are lobbyists for the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry, and the firearm industry. And it's kind of their adventures. And the smoking guy is going up against a smoke Nazi who is a Democrat senator from Vermont. Which is weird because it's right next to New Hampshire, which is like the freest state in the country in a lot of ways. But New Vermont is also one of the freest states in the country in a lot of ways because, it depends what you value as freedom. Because if you only like gay marriage and guns, Vermont is the place to be. Because you can gay marry there, but you can also carry concealed without a permit, which is really bizarre because it's a very liberal state. Like
can
everyone,
a gun marry another gun?
We won't have guns marrying guns. Yeah, there's like four states where maybe five now where you can carry concealed without a permit. One is Wyoming and one is Vermont. But it's always been Vermont. They didn't add it. Like they just never added the permit thing, you know, going back to the colonial days.
Are there any other states that I mean, I guess I should pay more attention to politics now because I'm completely don't care about that world anymore because it just seems so.
Because you care about Bitcoin. Because
irrelevant.
I've been talking. Yeah, I turned you on to the idea of Bitcoin. Well, like you know, everybody turned everyone on to it. But I really was kind of pushing it with you a couple years ago. Maybe you lost hope because I lost our Bitcoin and lost $3,000 down the drain. But and that actually I think makes me more of an expert on Bitcoin because I am the cautionary example of don't lose your password.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy who was working on a double sig app. I think it was
double signature.
Ryan Sellers. Yeah. Yeah. To where there'd have to be three different verifiers. You own two keys and they hold another key. Kind of like, you know, a nuclear red button.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't. I really feel like the risk involved in Bitcoin is part of the beauty of it because you really can't – there's no bank. There's no – you can't call tech support. I lost my password. And that's the beauty of it. You know, the government would love to protect me by law from losing my password to where I have to give it to them. They would love to make that the law. But I don't
Bitcoin
want that.
Bitcoin space is almost – it can be as vast as universe space, you know? So if people want security and they want to have that –
I'm not saying
can.
I'm
That's
against
part of the
it.
Of
I'm
it.
Saying personally I wouldn't use it. I'd rather risk losing my password.
But in his double sig thing, there's a protocol for if you lose your password. And he said, you know, how many of us have lost our password before? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I guess so. And he's like, well, with this,
I'm the only one that'll admit it. I'm the only one that'll admit it on nationally syndicated radio. And I do it because this is a teaching hospital, and I want to share that. So let's get back to the cows, man. We like the cows. And we'll try to figure out some Bitcoin. We'll add the Bitcoin cow at the end.
Okay, you be thinking of that while I'm reading this. You write that. Okay, fascism. You have two cows. You give them to the government, and the government then sells you some milk. That's about what we have now.
Yeah,
the closest out of all of these. Capitalism. You have two cows. You sell one and buy a bull. I wish.
In true capitalism. What
we don't
have that people, all of the politicians who want to like do things that make America less capitalist and want to put regulations and tariffs in, and borders and things that, you know, the only reason, like, everyone's like, we got to shut the borders. Here's the solution. Open the borders the same moment you get rid of all the handouts. Get rid of welfare checks, get rid of corporate welfare, get rid of the police state, get rid of the military, get rid of everything that exists as a job program, get rid of the post office. And it would be messy for a while, really messy, but it would find its own level. And all of a sudden, basically everybody who doesn't want to work would starve. Everybody who wants to steal would be shot in self-defense. And everybody who wants to work would really quickly get jobs and make jobs, filling all the holes.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Filling all the all the missing gaps.
Well, there'd be some people who don't want to work or can't work that would be taken care of by benefactors or charities. I mean,
you could start a Kickstarter.
There'd be some pretty girls out there or some pretty guys out there that find sugar mamas and sugar daddies.
Well, they'd be finding some service, but people could also do a Kickstarter or Indiegogo of, you know, I just want to smoke pot and bang on the drum all day, and somebody would, you know, really like the panhandler.
I'll give you a live feed into my banging.
The panhandlers that got the money in San Francisco really were not the pathetic ones. They were the funny ones that had a hook. Like, there was, you know, the guy with no hands who played slide guitar really well. And the guy who had the sign for a decade, this guy made money with a sign that said, please donate to the United Negro Pizza Fund. That guy, would smile and give him a buck, right, man. Those guys
got
money.
Service, though. You know? That's not just begging. That's, yeah. They provided you with a laugh, so you gave him a coin.
Yep.
All right.
So go on. Nazism.
Nazism. You have two cows. The government takes both and shoots you.
That's about right. Yeah. I really like New Dealism.
Yes. New Dealism. You have two cows. The government takes both, shoots one, buys milk from the other cow, and then pours the milk down the drain.
That's hilarious. And, you know, when I was about six in about 1970, there was like a farmer strike. Like, basically, it was New Dealism. It was the farmer, and this is what this is probably based on. Well, I saw farmers on TV pouring milk down the drain, and my dad had grown up in the Depression, and he was a farmer, and he always said, like, make sure you eat your food. And it was absurd. It was like, what world am I born into, right, where people are pouring milk down the
in
sewer?
In a sane world, a farmer's strike would equal a famine.
No, other farmers would step up.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com. Yes.
All right, Freedom Fiends. This is Nima Vidati. We've got Michael W. Dean on the other end. He was just saying we should tell people where to go to get bitcoins. I think you should make your own choice. My opinion is there's a site called CoinJabber. I actually met the guys who run it. One of them is named Nima, and it's basically a Yelp for all the exchanges and all the websites that want to be a part of it in the Bitcoin space or the Bitcoin ecosystem, whatever buzzword you want to use. You can go there, and there's open source reviews of the exchanges and the different ways of buying, selling, trading altcoins and bitcoins.
And the first ad's free. So Nima, if you're listening, contact us at talkback@freedomfiends.com to buy ads. So I'm just too busy to do ad sales. I'm too busy to call stations.
We'll multitask while we're doing the radio show.
I'm too busy building the Namecoin road. So we're going to be the Namecoin show, the Namecoin radio show that, you know, kind of Free Talk Live are really the Bitcoin show. They've been taking, they were one of the first companies that took, you know, sold things in Bitcoin, and they were definitely the first radio show that took Bitcoin for ad time. I bought some ad time for them recently, but, I want to point out, too, that the ad that just played for Free Speech Me from me, voiced by me, is no longer Where to Go. That was supposed to get switched out. It got switched out in the other hour. It didn't get switched out in this hour. It will for next week. But you should be going to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. So we're talking about cows. Cows. We like cows. I like cows, man.
Meow.
I remember when I was a kid on my on my aunt's farm when I was a kid, I used to drink raw milk. And, you know, all of these, like, 25-year-old hipster libertarians I know are like, Michael, you absolutely have to try raw milk because it's kind of it's a defiant thing because it's technically, like, illegal, I guess.
Do they really sound like – that was like Pimply's Simpsons kid.
I don't know. I mean, literally, like, once a month, somebody's like, oh, you guys are on the cutting edge. Do you drink raw milk? You should be drinking raw milk. I'm drinking raw milk. And I'm like, I drank raw milk 20 years before you were born and didn't like it. And they're like – actually, Derek J. Freeman told me that's the only answer I'll accept on that, actually. You know?
Other than, of course I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because if I didn't, he tried to talk me into it. But Derek J. is really young and full of energy and tries to convince, like, old me to do things I don't – like, I know better. Like, he tried to convince me to use Macs instead of PCs. That's like saying you should vote Democrat instead of Republican. And he tried to convince me to drink raw milk. And I'm like – dude, I was literally drinking raw milk 20 years before you were born and didn't like it. And he's like, okay.
So is the raw milk of these days different than your grandpa's raw milk?
The thing I didn't like about – I don't mind raw milk that's unpasteurized. I do not like milk that's unhomogenized, and they kind of go hand in hand. You could probably get homogenized raw milk, but yeah, man, I don't cream.
It tasted like it had different textures in one gulp.
It had a layer of cream floating on the top.
Yeah.
It's just too rich.
Stir it with a little spoon or something?
It doesn't stay. It kind of like – you need to stir it with machinery because it doesn't really – it stays in globules. It's kind of like drinking jello. It's kind of like boba. You know what boba is?
Oh, yeah. Boba's awesome. I love boba.
Yeah, but imagine boba made from milk.
Well, I know what you mean because when we store breast milk in the fridge, it does the same
thing. Yeah, it's like drinking tapioca pudding mixed with milk. It's a texture thing that I really didn't like. So I'm all for raw milk as a political statement, but not as something for me to drink. So I also remember being on my aunt and uncle's farm when I was a kid and seeing something I'd never seen before and running in and telling my aunt, Aunt Verna, the cows are jumping on each other. And she's like, it's okay. That's how we get more cows. And I was like, what?
That's how we get more cows.
What? So speaking of getting something out of something else.
Getting more cows.
We have our cow analogy for Bitcoin. Here it is. You have two cows. 50 million other people have some cows. You hook them all up to a networked worldwide milking machine, and everyone still ends up with more milk than they would have had otherwise. That kind of sounds like magic or voodoo or communism, but it's not. It's the new economy, man.
And you know, the magic of the market. And you were saying how great it is that Bitcoin and the blockchain are teaching people about real market economics. And that is a great example.
Without having to read some 600-page book by some dead guy.
Right, right. Well, I have a liberal friend, and he tried to explain economics from his point of view to me, and he's like, okay, it's like you have a pack of cigarettes, and if I take 10 of those cigarettes, you only have 10, and if I take 18, you only have 2. But this assumes that everything's finite in the laboratory, like the experiments in the Keynesian lab that Jeff Tucker was making fun of. The world isn't like that, man. The economy's not a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, liberal economics is actually, you have 20 cigarettes, I raise the price by 10 times to punish you for doing something bad for you that you shouldn't do.
Right. We'll be back after this jump. Thanks, fiends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. ShinyBadges.com.
My, my, my. It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vidati. Yeah. We've got Michael W. Dean, soon to be of Michael Dean After Dark fame. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
Good. I just sent you a screenshot of the schedule for Genesis Communications Network. Yeah. This is very cool. When you go to it, I'm the first thing on it because
first thing,
my show is on Channel 1, and it starts at the beginning of the week, which starts at midnight, Sunday night, Monday morning. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Congratulations.
So that's kind of cool. When program directors go to look at the schedule, I'll be the first thing they see. I don't know if that'll help, but it's kind of like being first in the phone book or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's the first thing people see.
Speaking of firsts, what just happened on your 30th birthday? Your first child did what?
My first child rolled over from her tummy to her back for the first time all by herself.
Aww.
And she knew that she needed to do it during the break too. I said, Lily, I'm gonna have to go soon. And she right on her back. And I was, thank you so much. And she almost cried tears of joy. At least I
happy birthday.
Tears of joy.
It's your 30th birthday. You know, I didn't even know it was your birthday. I've been too busy to pay attention, and I guess it's a good thing that DJ and I have been pretty generous on all your birthdays before and sent you stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm kind of like saying, it's okay, I forgot. So, yeah, I forgot.
I'm not huge on, you people must get me things or I'll feel bad. So don't sweat it. My mom actually sent me some cool stuff. She sent me a video camera, a Sony that actually has flash memory. FedEx said that they delivered it at my doorstep at 2:15. I was here right by my door at 2:15, and nobody ever came, dropped off a package. So.
It's not there?
Not here, but we got insurance on it, so maybe I'll
you
get
should,
some money.
During the break, just ask your wife to call FedEx and find out. It's probably at your neighbor's house or something.
I went and talked to the because we're in a duplex, and I went and talked to Unit B. We're Unit A, and I didn't see it in front of there, but I guess I could check another.
Yeah. I mean, you should call them. But I've had experience with this. You should call them. You know, they're great, but they get things wrong once in a while. You know, it's probably at, like, North Coronado, not South Coronado or something. And, you know, literally, they will correct it. They'll send the truck to pick it up and bring it to you today. And if you don't do that, you'll get your money back from them in like 4 months from the insurance, but you should do that now and you might get your package today.
Yep, we've already done that. That's
there's some news you can use. Yeah, so we're going to talk about cows. We're going to talk about my new upcoming show, Michael Dean After Dark, which starts at midnight tonight, Central Time, on Genesis Communications Network. And it's going to be Sunday through Thursday or Monday through Friday, depending on how you look at it. And it's going to be rotating, spinning co-hosts. No, I have a stable. I got me a stable, a co-host.
Yeah.
And it's some great people. It's Bill Buepert. It's tonight is Mike Pakes Wright's first and last show. He said he didn't want to. He said, I don't. He loves, you know, we're friends for 15 years in person. But he's like, yeah, I don't really want to be Joe Satriani's bass player, which, you know, some of you old people and young people are like, who? I don't know what that is. But if you're my age, Joe Satriani was a guitar player who played with Frank Zappa and then later went out on his own. He's one of those kind of like too many notes for the royal ear metal guitarists, kind of like Squisgar. Uh-huh. You know, he's like, you don't want to be Squisgar's bass player is what he's saying. Like, he's basically saying, I talk too much and don't let him talk. So what do you think about that, Nima?
I'm tired of talking about me.
Why don't you talk about me?
I don't mind being Toki. No, but I don't think I'm Toki. I think we're two lead guitarists that take turns. And when I'm lead, you're rhythm. When you're lead, I'm rhythm. I think we have a decent dynamic like that.
I'm eating cheese, man.
Or we're like two MCs that are both pretty skilled, like Fife Dog and Q-Tip.
I don't know what that is.
Or like Kanye and Jay-Z on Watch the Throne.
Dude, I'm old. Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah, I guess so. You are old. Oh yeah, I was talking to Robert Murphy and I asked him what kind of music he's into, and he's like, oh, I'm like into like classic rock and stuff. And I was like, okay, like AC/DC. And he's like, no, not really. And I was like, oh, like Styx or Journey. He's like, no,
Nirvana.
He's like, no, like the Beatles. And I'm like, oh, like pre-classic rock. And he's like, yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Grammar rock.
I love the Beatles. Is such a giant spectrum. Like, well, you listen to the classic rock show and you will hear Nirvana and you will hear the Stones.
Yeah, you'd think that classic rock would change and shift forward by decades, but
it just it accumulates. It keeps the old stuff.
It'll always be the Stones and Styx and the Beatles and AC/DC, but then it'll just throw in Nirvana and then occasionally throw in I don't know, System of a Down or something, maybe. Possibly.
You might could hear them on LBJ. That's funny too. The classic rock station here is LBJ.
Well, it's owned by LBJ's family. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And that's just kind of weird to me. Like, weren't those the same like acts that were playing during the protest of Hey LBJ, how many kids did you kill today?
I think some talk radio host got kicked off there for bashing LBJ, and she successfully sued them, as I recall.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sued them for what?
I don't know.
Wrongful termination? That
I don't know.
Silly.
This is a dumb. Yeah. People should be able to fire anyone they want for anything all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, because what's the alternative? That was my point with Anderson Cooper grilling that congressman about the Arizona bill of, because of the First Amendment, you don't have to hire or do business with anybody you don't want to do business with. And Anderson Cooper was like, you're just going to use this to keep gay people from getting services, goods and services they need. And I'm like, well, what's the alternative? Having the government point a gun at somebody and saying, you must take this person's money and give them that tasty cake in the fridge that they want to buy.
You know, I figured out how Hillary Clinton is going to get rid of all of us on the radio when she becomes president.
How?
She is going to – this is my other prediction. Before it has to be community radio, and they're going to put all the weirdos like us on at night and, you know, when all the AM stations
power
down.
You like
being
on at night anyway.
Yeah, but I think what they're going to do also is they're going to say that everybody producing any radio show has to guarantee to pay at least minimum wage to all their employees and give them full-time employment. And it's like – you and I don't even make minimum wage doing this because we're totally independent. Nope. We say stuff that will get us, you know, most stations won't deal with us because we're truly libertarian. A few brave, 20 brave stations will take us. But, you know, I don't even pay myself minimum wage, let alone like people that help out and do stuff for us. You know, it's all golden floppy disk of redemption.
Well, you know, because of cryptocurrency, I hate to keep bringing it back to that, but that's one alternative, man. There's John Bush out there who lives in – he used to live in Austin. I guess he got kicked off of his farm, but he found somebody south of Austin in San Marcos who lets him pay rent in Bitcoin for his farm. And the guy was telling me that he does all his business. He doesn't work for anybody else. Most of his business is done in Bitcoin, donations and selling things for Bitcoin.
Wow.
So it's a doable thing, man, and you do a lot of transacting in Bitcoin and Namecoin and going from Bitcoin to Namecoin. So there's a verge of an opportunity here.
I just
bought
my first thing though with Bitcoin. I've never bought anything with Bitcoin.
Other than other cryptocurrencies.
Other cryptocurrencies, yeah. I have I cashed in 2 Bitcoin for Namecoin, and people have been paying into the project for Bitcoin, and I've been paying the programmer in Bitcoin and Namecoin. But I actually bought a Raspberry Pi Linux computer for like, you know, $75 worth of Bitcoin yesterday. That's pretty cool.
Nice. I bought a t-shirt for $16 worth of Bitcoin at the Bitcoin conference.
It's
my first,
you know,
physical buy, also my first in-person, like face-to-face buy with a cell phone.
Yeah.
And it was so easy. It was easier than a debit card.
Well, I have a little story about that too, was that I sent you I tried to send you some money that the fiends owed you the other day. And I tried to send it to you with PayPal, and PayPal said down for maintenance. I've never seen it say that. And
yes,
I just
Bitcoin can't really be down for maintenance.
And
I
Bitcoined it to you, and you had it in seconds. You had it in like 2 minutes. And that's, you know, people have to look at the blockchain as not just like, I've been pushing Namecoin.bit domains as you should get them. They're much harder for the government to censor. That's not the only advantage. In libpair, you'd still want to use them because they're harder to hijack from you know, black hat hackers, and they're also they propagate worldwide. When you set up a .com domain and set up the website, you just registered it. People in the world, around the world, not everybody can see it for 2 to 3 days. With namecoin.bit, it's like 40 minutes. Or no, it's like 3 hours with new domains, and it's like 40 minutes if you, you know, change the location of an existing domain.
Right. And isn't there a network effect too? Like once more people have .bit, once more people have namecoin, once there's more nodes, won't it be even faster?
Yeah, yeah, because everybody's wallet acts as a server, and the more you have, the faster the network is, and the more drone-proof it is. And like Namecoin, you can see that because Bitcoin takes a minute for the other person to see it coming in, or seconds, and you know, 5 or 10 minutes tops for them to like have the whole thing where it's the little pie turns green, the little clock turns green. With Namecoin, that can take like 10, 15 minutes before they see it, and like an hour before they fully have it. It's still faster than like wire transfers.
But isn't there some room for a better Namecoin wallet? And if Andreas Antonopoulos is the Bitcoin king, then you should be the king of Namecoin.
Well, absolutely.
You've made Free Speech Me and Meowbit happen. Would you give any thought to trying to find or working on an updated Namecoin wallet?
Oh, it's being done. Yeah, the Namecoin wallet takes a while to open up. Basically, originally, Namecoin was command line only, Linux only for nerds, because that's the easiest thing for nerds to make. It's harder to make a Windows version with a graphic user interface. They basically, a couple guys took their own money and paid a programmer to make a wallet for Namecoin. And Namecoin's been around 3 years, but that wallet's only been around like a year and a half. And they paid him to basically like repurpose it from the open source code of the existing Bitcoin wallet, which at the time was kind of crappy. You know, the new one is really fast. It updates really fast. It opens really fast. So they're trying to raise money to do it from the new – to redo it from the new Bitcoin wallet. Now, we've talked about this. The guy who did the programming on the first one died mysteriously of a stroke at age 27. He was a kid from Russia, a guy from Russia, and he died recently. And, like, it's weird because the Namecoin community is a much smaller than the Bitcoin community, and it's not – so it doesn't include, like, all of the conspiracy theorists and, like, hardcore ANCAP libertarians like us that the Bitcoin community does. And like, you know, there was a thread on the Namecoin forum like, oh, it's so sad, our friend died. And nobody chimed in and said like, yeah, I'll bet the government killed him. But that was my first thought, but I was new on that board, so I didn't say it, but I'll say it on here. But yeah, I think they're gonna take the money we raised for Free Speech Me, hopefully, and use it on the Namecoin wallet now that Meowbit exists and Free Speech Me is only good for Linux because Meowbit is better for Windows.
All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Mr. Nemo Vitali!
Yeah. I'll be right back. I gotta go redo something here.
Freedom Fiends!
Nima, do we have Mr. Nima Vidotti in the house? Are you in the house, Nima?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Nima got droned.
I did, but I'm back. You can't drone me. You can drone me, but it won't stop me.
Man, I'm reading more software threads on the Bitcoin forum, and like instantly, like there's somebody like, I want to do this to help this to improve Bitcoin, and then like by the fourth post, the guy's like, you're an idiot. Good luck with your failure and waste of time.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But hey, he might do it anyway and get it done, and it might change the world, man. That's the thing. So we were kind of all Bitcoin all the time. Let's take a little bit of a divergence here.
Go for it.
Julian Assange was Skyping in, video conferencing in to South by Southwest. Now, what an amazing time we live in where people who can't leave their indoors bunkers because the government will grab them, people like Julian Assange and Charlie Shrem, who was a Bitcoin mogul who the feds grabbed. He had to post $1 million bail, and now he has to live in his parents' basement, basically. He was video Skyping into to the Texas Bitcoin conference. So these people still get to go to conferences and say the kinds of things that the government doesn't want them to say, even though they're on house arrest. And I think that's a beautiful thing and a good proof of how technology is going to end run circles around the state. And one of the points Julian brought up in his South by Southwest talk was you're under self-imposed house arrest. Yeah. But Julian Assange questioned, is Obama wearing the pants? So he's basically saying, I don't think Obama's the one who really has the reins of this national security intelligence state. He thinks it's the NSA actually calling the shots. And so them being all boo-hoo about Barack Obama not coming to visit them is more like the man being all boo-hoo about his wife not bringing him coffee at work, not the other way around. So, and you know, people have brought this up recently too, that Barack Obama even talks like he's not really part of the government. like he's bummed about what the people are doing in Guantanamo as far as force feeding inmates, like criticizing it as if he doesn't get to call any shots. And I used to think it was him being disingenuous, but maybe he really doesn't call the shots. Maybe he's just the spokesman, so to speak, the PR guy for the oligarchy.
Yeah.
What do you think, Michael?
I don't know. I mean, there's basically two theories in the government is wrong. And one theory is, well, there's three theories, and two of them kind of overlap. You know, one is the Constitution had it right, but somewhere we lost our way. And I'm like, when? Between the signing of it and like.
And the Whiskey Rebellion.
And the Whiskey Rebellion 12 years later, when your hero, George Washington, murdered a bunch of vets of the Revolutionary War because they didn't want to give him tribute for the whiskey they were making, which didn't involve him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When he had a conflict of interest because he was the state's largest whiskey distiller. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, then there's the other type that's. It kind of overlaps with that sometimes, which is that that like Martian people, not Martians, but not lizard people, but like lizard people. You know, some kind of outsiders have come in and usurped the government, and we need to get back to put good men in there. And there's kind of like the other variation on that is the idea that there's some central bureaucracy of elite trillionaires whose names you don't even know, who there's 12 of them and they meet once a year and pull the puppet strings on the lowly minions like Barack Obama. I don't know if either of them are right.
I think there are powered elites who have a lot of influence. I don't think they're centralized. I don't think they meet and drink owl's blood and have planning sessions, because I think that they're in competition with each other. So I think even they're decentralized, and that's why they're so powerful.
If they were centralized and not in competition with each other, we'd all be living in cages running on treadmills.
Not even that. It would be like that for a few years, and then the whole thing would just fall apart and reset itself.
And then there's the third kind, which is us, who just rejects the authority of the whole thing. And then there's kind of two brands of that. There's our kind, and then there's the sovereign citizen kind, who believe that if you use the magic words of rejecting it, the state will actually pay attention to you and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to arrest you for not paying taxes. Feel free to go and never pay taxes again, which is ridiculous. ridiculous.
Right.
We don't believe in their authority, but we believe that in a court of law, you know, they'll throw us in shackles and murder us.
Well, it'd be like trying to appeal to the sympathies of a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, please don't murder me, Mr. Serial Killer. It's my birthday today.
Yeah.
Yeah. How good, that's not going to work for
and
you.
And it is your birthday.
It is. All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us again. I'm Nima Vedati here in Central Texas, skipping South by Southwest to talk to a microphone and be with my little baby Lily. Michael W. Dean's out there in his bunker. He's not going to any conferences anytime soon, although we're trying to convince him to go to Porkfest. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. It's going to happen probably, but not this year. We looked at our money and just don't have it.
Okay, let's both try to make it happen next year.
There you go. Yeah,
yeah.
We can do
we
a
can
live.
Both go together.
We can do a live Fiends chat. Even if they don't invite us to speak, because you know we're pretty popular, but we're kind of like the people just nobody ever calls or bothers with.
I think part of that is because we don't go to the conference.
I know, but it's all. I'm not feeling sorry for us. I'm just saying that like we're kind of the. I don't know, just the, like, who, what, no, he's not the hip guy of the moment, you know, but I think you and I could just set up a card table and just yak all day, like, with no mics, just, you know, we're just at a card table, doing the Fiends.
Yep. But, speaking of conferences, apparently CPAC had kind of a younger, hipper, libertarian crowd than you'd expect of a conservative political action committee.
Well, that's kind of interesting because most of the Ron Paulites that I know have since become anarcho-capitalists and don't vote.
But maybe there's new ones. Maybe it's like a conveyor belt.
It's like and, how know, still it's like how the old the can, like how the and how the old conservatives say that the gays recruit. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, you know, Ron Paul won. I mean, wasn't he the perennial winner of the straw poll for who should be the next president? So I kind of feel like in the past few years, I don't know if it's libertarians jumping in and sort of photobombing it or crashing CPAC. But Rand Paul apparently won overwhelmingly for the presidential straw poll. And I think bigger news for me is the marijuana poll, a plurality said at the Conservative Political Action Committee, a plurality said that 41% believe it's time to fully legalize marijuana. Unfortunately, also in the poll it said, and tax it. I don't know why Republicans are into taxes like that.
That's kind of dumb. That is really dumb. I guess they just there's such a strain in the GOP of like, we have to have some control on things we don't understand.
Yeah. But they don't realize that when you do something like that, when you impose a control that nobody's into, well, nobody's into control anyway. So people just do what they want anyway. All you do is create more
when,
black.
When conservatives think they're hip by saying, I don't smoke pot, but I could see legalizing it and taxing it and regulating it. When they say that taxing and regulating it part, they are being like Nancy Pelosi. They are literally emulating Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. 21% said it should be legalized for medicinal purposes. So 21%, you add those two together.
Yeah.
That's 62% believing that marijuana should be legal in some form.
But that's 38% of GOP people thinking that if your grandmother is dying of cancer in excruciating pain and you go buy her a joint, you should be thrown in a cage at gunpoint.
Right, right. And this is a really important point you make, Michael, because it's not just when we talk about ending the drug war, it's not because we think that everybody should go out and do a bunch of drugs and it's party time in America. That's not it at all. It's that the drug war is a human tragedy. Like, it will be viewed as from history
like slavery.
Like slavery or the Spanish Inquisition or other horrible atrocities where a bunch of people died, were incarcerated, were tortured. And people will wonder, how could they let that happen?
I would say the Holocaust, but people get upset. They want to own that. You can't use that.
They want to monopolize it.
They do. They do. And to me, it's just math of comparing one thing to another, you know.
Right. And at this point, we're only talking scale. We're not talking principle. In principle, it's very similar to the Holocaust.
And Hitler killed 6 million Jews, and that's horrible. And he was a horrible person. But people don't really know the history. He also killed millions of other people. He killed homosexuals. He killed political dissenters. He killed people who weren't even dissenting, but just really didn't care about the fatherland and the patriotism to the overlord of Germany, who were just like, I just want to live my life. Leave me alone. He killed those people. Yeah.
He killed a mass murderer.
What was the religious group he killed? They're one of the people that knock on your doors now. I forget which ones. Not Christian scientists.
Were Mormons even around?
No, Seventh-day Adventists, I think. What? Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, Hitler killed lots of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and he really liked to kill homosexuals. So, they say that every argument on the internet within a couple pages turns to one person saying to the other person, you're like Hitler! But, you know, if you really think that the gays are bad and should be punished in some way, you're kind of like Hitler, man. And you could say, well, I don't think they should be thrown in. You know, my dad actually told me one time, I don't think that gays should. He was trying to sound hip. He's like, I don't think the gays should be thrown in jail. I think they should just be put in mental hospitals until they're cured.
Oh, wow.
That was his form of hip. Yeah. And, you know, he's an old school Republican. He's like part of the 38% that if he was at CPAC, which he'd love to be at, and he took this poll, he'd be, I don't think we should legalize pot. I think
It wasn't as bad as 38%. It was 31%. The remainder chose not to answer. So apparently they felt some way that people thought would be even more offensive than that. So,
like, either what? I think – what would be more offensive to a Republican? Either I think they should be murdered on the spot with no trial. Or maybe it's the ones who thought, you know – heroin should be sold in vending machines as long as the vending machines are privately owned and operated and not taxed or regulated.
Oh, maybe.
I guess they didn't want to say that. We're being pessimistic.
We could be optimistic, and it could be people saying it should be fully legalized and untaxed.
Yeah,
and
unregulated. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I was being a pessimist. I was thinking more along the Ted Nugent lines of we should have the death penalty for drug dealers, because apparently he's so anti-free market that he wants to kill people for transacting in a certain class of goods.
Yeah. That's
way to go at being inconsistent.
And he's a guy who talks nonstop about how great the free market is and how great capitalism is and how he built himself up from his bootstraps from nothing. And that's all true. And it's all good talk. And I love hearing that talk from anybody. But I have a big problem hearing it from Ted Nugent because he's entirely inconsistent. And he believes people should be murdered for taking something into their body that he doesn't approve of.
Yeah, that's what you get for listening to a bass player.
He's not a bass player.
Huh?
That's not.
I thought he played. Oh, he's a guitar player.
Man, you are really. You don't know. No,
I don't know.
You like the song "Stranglehold" and it's got
a
cool
bass
line.
So I mixed it up in my head.
No, the thing is, Ted Nugent plays guitar in that song, but he also does not sing on that song. He does when he does it live now, and he sings on it. But that's Derek.
Yeah, I heard he's not the best at singing.
That's actually the bass player, Derek St. Holmes, I believe, is the singer on "Stranglehold." It's higher than Ted can sing. It's kind of girly. But kind of spooky.
Yeah, I would
call
it girly, but it's an octave above what Ted could probably handle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my joke failed. I get it. You win.
Yeah, my Led Zeppelin would not fail if I had reverb switch on this bus, on this monitor, on this mixer.
Oh, you don't?
There's so many buttons on here, man. I don't want to press the wrong one. And yesterday when I played the Tweak and Review, you and I could hear it, but apparently the radio audience did not hear it because I listened to it on radio. So talk about some unintended consequences. We're talking about the drug war and the stupidity of it. And, you know, people say, well, we have to have – a common thing is we have to have some regulations. I'm hip. I could see the marijuana is not being punishable by death. But we need to tax and regulate it like we do with alcohol. Now, tell me what are some unintended consequences of the laws of alcohol. Like, one that comes to mind to me is, you know, probably more accidents because people – you know, or I don't know.
I think drunk driving because, yeah, in a lot of states they have something called blue laws and you can't serve alcohol after certain times, between certain times. And so people get kicked out of the bars. They have to drive home. They're drunk already. And I think the state even knows, at least some people know about this unintended consequences, and they don't mind it all that much because the DUI industry is a big cash cow for local municipalities. I mean, the fines are horrendous.
I heard somebody.
Type of federal funding they can get is way high. You know,
I heard someone the other day saying that they'd been arrested for drunk driving for being asleep in their car out in the parking lot of a bar where they had permission from the bar owner. Like, basically, I don't want to drive home. I'm too drunk. I'm going to sleep it off in my car and then drive home. And the bartender's like, "Yeah, man, fine with me. I wish you would. You know, don't drive home." And the cops arrested him for like being drunk in an automobile, which is like some other lesser crime, but still a big crime than driving drunk. Isn't that ridiculous?
Mm-hmm. Completely ridiculous. Yeah. And I hope he got a lawyer and fought that. Seems like you could maybe appeal to a sensible jury.
Why should you even have to appeal to, I mean, like,
you're right.
You know, and that's the American justice system is like cops can do things horribly illegal to you. And if you have money for an attorney, which is expensive, and you take a bunch of your time off work and you probably get fired because you got arrested for drunk driving, even when you didn't drunk drive, you know, horrible consequences that happen because of laws like that. And then, you know, if you're really, really lucky, the justice system works and you get off and you only have to pay court costs and your lawyer, which can be tens of thousands of dollars.
That's still a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. For what? And then that's broken window right there, because that money could have gone to pay legitimate actors in the economy that are actually providing a service that people want to buy, not just goons rent seeking and feeding off the teat of the productive class. That's a tragedy. I would also say that I think binge drinking to a large extent is a result of the horrible regulation of alcohol. I mean, the fact
I've seen that in firsthand because I hung out in Germany a lot and I'd be in bars and there were 15-year-old kids who would come by after school, sip a beer, a really good beer, for an hour with one of their friends and then go home and not have any more alcohol that week. And it's like in America, you know, teenagers are so kept away from alcohol that if they get their hands on it, they drink till they black out and then drive dad's car when they've never driven a car and wrap it around a tree and end up in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think about a dog who's not used to getting food all the time. If it comes across some food, it's going to eat all of it, even if it's throwing up afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. You know, now think about blue laws, too, and how square they are. Like, basically, the reason there are blue laws, like times you can't buy alcohol, are because of religious pressure 100 years ago. Because basically that came out of the time, like, alcohol was outlawed, then alcohol came back. And, you know, there's always conflicting groups trying to point the government machine gun turret in all directions and want to be in charge of it, as you say.
Has anybody ever tried to litigate blue laws on a First Amendment grounds? I mean,
I mean, a lot of them are really silly and are in those books you always see in lawyers' waiting rooms that, you know, lobbies like
silly laws.
Like, you know, in Catbert, Kansas, it is illegal to wear a yellow sweater on Sunday, which is, you know,
or in Arizona, you can only have two sex toys per household.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like basically people wanted to outlaw things completely to force people to be moral, which is not being a good Christian. If you're forced to do it, you have not made a choice. So yeah, man. And then they couldn't get it done outright, so they bartered and they got it on Sundays or on Tuesday afternoons or after midnight. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
Yeah. Worms. It's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. My name is Nima Vedati. I'd like to thank everybody for sticking with us today on this fine weekend day. We've got Michael W. Dean out there.
Happy birthday, Nima.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
It's your 30th birthday, and in May, yeah, on air, I'm going to have my 50th birthday.
Yeah, that's right. You're about 20 years my senior.
Almost exactly. So, it is time, and if you don't know what time it is, we have a jingle. It is time.
We have top men working on it right now.
Wrong jingle.
Top.
It's a good one anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Freedom Fiends! Tweaking with you. Tweaking with you. Tweaking with you. Tweaking with you.
And now to tell you about the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review, we have one of our top men, Nima Vedati, on it.
Top men. Yeah. So, number one, man, tech is moving way too fast for one person to keep up with everything. So how could you expect government regulators to do anything about it or know anything about anything? You can't. And we read a Tucker quote basically saying that the business world, the market world, it moves forward. It doesn't sit around and wait. And there's so many different people doing a billion different things, and you could never know all of them. So the people, the Keynesian economists who think they can plot and plan what's going to happen and move money here and there and that they'll be right and they'll have this macroeconomic paradise, that's why they always fail. Their models fall flat when they're not in some sanitized clean room lab of the computer models that they're pointing to. The real world doesn't work that way. And that's why things that can be the new buzzword, anti-fragile, that's why those things are the things that are going to be resilient and stick around and lead us into the future, where the things that are too big to fail, like the state and its economic actors, those are going to fall flat and flop. Because why would you want systems that can fail and cause all the other large structures, the economy, the banking industry, Wall Street, cause them to also crash, when you could have the alternative, a system where crashing is built into it and actually makes it more resilient? Like your immune system, where if you get a little cold, you don't get that same cold again next year or the next month. Or I've heard the analogy of, I'm not sure which one it is, but one of the large streaming companies actually has a program that will go and crash its servers randomly in different parts of its network. And this is so when an actual crash happens, it's already built in the system ways of working around that, a protocol of keeping the service the same in the face of crashes. Wouldn't it be awesome if society worked that way too? And I think that that's why we're on sort of the all Bitcoin all the time, or really it's the all blockchain all the time bandwagon. So it may seem like we're going off into Bitcoin space here, but it's important for a reason.
I've coined two new coin phrases. One is get on the blockchain instead of get on the bandwagon. And
like
The other is I'd bet Litecoin to Bitcoin instead of dollars to donuts. No, it'd be I'd bet Bitcoin to Litecoin instead of dollars to donuts.
Yeah.
Although
yeah,
these days I think a dollar's worth less than a donut.
It is, yeah. A donut's like $1.09. Well, it depends on where you get it. Yeah. So the other thing, man, CPAC. I kind of thought political conferences were old and irrelevant. I still do.
Well, they are. But we talked about that yesterday, about how people don't realize that, like, whatever world they're in is really, really last century. And an example is print journalism or news journalism, yeah, TV journalism. Like, I'm not going to degenerate or degrade the fact that you won the Broadcaster of the Year award for best story for the Wyoming Broadcasters Association in 2010. But think about that. It's like everyone in that room believed they were on the cutting edge and wearing their best clothes and drinking and tippling to each other and saying, ha ha ha.
Shaking hands with senators.
Yeah. Yeah, shaking hands with the old guard, shaking hands with the old guard, pretending they're all still relevant. It's like that Pink Floyd song, you know, about the old folks home for tyrants, where they'd have, you know, they could appear to themselves on closed circuit TV. They could polish their medals and smile.
Yeah. No, but that's all the old ways of thinking, man. We're zooming to the future here on Freedom Fiends. If you'd like to throw some fuel in our tank because you enjoy the ride, go ahead and do that. Go to freedomfiends.com. Click on any spinning coin. Throw us some cryptocurrency, man. We'll greatly appreciate it.
Go to Meowbit. Meowbit.com.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead and listen to Michael's show, his debut of Michael Dean After Dark tonight. Thanks so much for joining
Midnight
us, Fiends.
Midnight Central Time on LRN.
Thank you
and
for
GCN.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
We'll talk to you next weekend.
Yep.